listening to Chrysalis Color, the podcast. Hello, this is Jorunn from Norway.
And Christine in Canada.
With a podcast about color analysis and how it applies to you in a practical way. We'll talk about how to use your colors to make your days brighter, your wardrobe more enjoyable, and your life easier.
We'll talk about topics that we find interesting, and we encourage you to submit your questions. A podcast listing is available at chrysaliscolor.com under the podcasts tab.
Welcome to episode 33 called Wardrobe Challenges. Hey, Christine, in the last episode, you mentioned that at one point you gave yourself the challenge of not buying anything black. And so I think challenging ourselves is a pretty healthy thing. And that's why we made this episode all about challenges.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. One of the best challenges with clothing, I think, and many women would agree, is wearing what we have, because it forces us to think of new solutions, you know, outside our usual box. When we've got these pants we always wear with this top, well, what else could we wear it with? I figure one of the best things we can give another person, you know, like when people ask you for advice or they're just telling you something in their life and they want help processing it, is to help them grow, to give them a way to make better decisions, especially in situations where they got patterns that may be holding them back from improving at something. We all got them. We all know what other people's are, but we got our own too. Have you, Jorunn, seen the Netflix series Dash and Lily?
Oh, yes, I have. I saw it last year. And then after you mentioned it, I watched it again the other day and I like it so much. And it's so good on so many levels. And it's funny. It's hilarious.
Yeah, very funny. I loved it too. I'm embarrassed to say how many times I've seen it.
Oh, you watched it more than once?
Oh, I'm embarrassed to say how many nights in a row I've watched it. And I'm talking about like the last 2 weeks. Oh, probably 8, 10. I watch it over and over. And you know, one of the best lines, I don't remember in what episode this comes out, but is when Mrs. Basil E says via Lily, your clothes are your inside on your outside. And you shouldn't leave that to mass manufacturing.
Yes, and I think it's in the beginning.
It's at the beginning.
She's making her own clothes. And this is why she's making her own clothes.
Yes.
Lily is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And once you see Mrs. Basil E, I mean, it's inspiring as it is. But once you meet Mrs. Basil E, it's probably even more inspiring. And so the whole show is the idea of helping another person widen their perspective by giving them experiences. Because, you know, we all know other people are holding themselves back in this way or that way, but just saying, well, you can't wear red or pink's not your color, whatever it may be, just doesn't help them know what to do about it. And not as fast, at least, as creating a way for them to know. And we can show better options, Pinterest boards, newsletters for Jorunn. And I think for me, though, knowledge solidifies. It stays with me if I use it. If I don't use information, well, probably twice a week, I can't hang on to it. So Dash and Lily are giving one another experiences, and giving them a way of seeing and doing things through someone else's eyes is a great gift, because you take time to think about what would help them and only them. But it's refreshingly not the usual opposites attract plot. It kind of is, but that's such a minor theme. So they set challenges for one another. Won't say more about it, but it's amazing. And I thought just for Manhattan at Christmas, it was worth watching for that.
Oh, I agree. And they do. It is all about challenges, and they give each other challenges, and they're welcoming those challenges.
Yes.
And they're daring each other and themselves to go out of their comfort zones.
Yes.
And that's so interesting, but they're choosing it. It's not something that somebody else is kind of forcing them to do. It's really voluntary.
Very much.
Yes. And how on point for our episode today.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I think that, you know, the great thing about challenges is that they're the best kind of when they're not generic, when they're very special to the person. It's like a commitment to looking into the corners of other people's personalities with our perceptions. And so hopefully we can do that today for our listeners, our gift. And you can all thank us after the challenges.
Thank
Wait till you hear them.
But I'm actually thinking that one of our gifts could be that we're challenging ourselves to not talk about hair dye for this entire episode. Do you think we could do that, Christine?
Yeah. Speak for yourself. I try my best, but keep an eye out for me, okay?
Yep. So, Christine, back to what started us on creating this topic for the episode is you not buying black. How long did that challenge last for you?
Oh, years. I'm still in it. I didn't set a time, and because black is still out there, you know, so it became a habit by itself. And now the habit has turned into staying aware. It's really just part of every shopping journey. And my commitment is really to trying to enjoy the trip. I don't want to end up where I started, or why would you buy the ticket? So I've learned to know what I own. That's been helpful too. How much black does a person really need? And so what I do when I shop as well as avoiding black is I keep a rough inventory of my head. I don't want to get home and find I already have three of those things already.
Yeah. So this started as a challenge and now it's more a habit. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
But why did you start it? What made you do it?
Well, I guess black was too easy. It became the thing I always came home with. And after three or so of those, you realize what's going on. You notice your own patterns. So my famous last words with many projects when I started with my commitment to not looking at black was, well, how hard could that be? And once it starts and I believe in the value, I'm usually in it for the very much longer haul than I ever planned. But I do believe in the value of diversifying rather than buying black over and over. And some of those earlier purchases when I did diversify and I took a risk, they're still favorites.
Was it hard?
It was distracting.
What was distracting?
Going back 10 years in my memory banks now.
10 years?
Well, I had my colors analyzed 10 years ago.
Wow.
Maybe 12 now. And I guess shopping with awareness rather than letting my eye go wherever it pleased, creating my shopping outcome rather than just reacting in the same old way I always did, going in the same stores, coming out with the same stuff. And the funny thing is, having thought I was an autumn, I didn't wear much black before that color analysis. Turned out I was a dark winter. And get on to black some fast.
Yes. Well, Christine, you still haven't answered my question.
Ah.
What did you mean with distracting? What was distracting?
Yes. I realized that my eye, it gravitated to black. It was like a cop-out, like an escape hatch, which then made me realize that I couldn't choose another neutral besides black.
Okay, so the black was the distraction. So why couldn't you choose another neutral?
Oh, this is getting interesting now. I feel like a drop of mercury on a plate, you know, and you make a move and then I skitter away. Okay, why couldn't I choose besides black? Because I never made myself figure that out. I knew that I could take a guess and come home and be in the return line within a week. But neutrals was something I needed to figure out. And this whole black and neutral thing, it didn't affect how I bought colors. That took some learning on its own, but it was less affected by the black journey.
So colors, how you bought colors was less affected.
Yeah, it was the neutrals.
Yes. The neutrals was what was affected. Okay. Tell me more about that.
Well, yeah. Grays, you know, the neutral sets on my website, I realized this is hard for me. It's hard for everybody. And I couldn't do it. So I would take little pieces of fabric because I have a large amount of fabric. And I would take that shopping and then I got it right away. That day I could come home with dark winter grays. So that solved that. And then the neutral sets were born to give everybody examples of their neutral colors because they're kind of hard to do. And I also learned to expand navy blue, black olive, dark burgundy purple, and work with those. And I also learned about my colors overall because I could see how these new colors were interacting with the other colors, how they were making outfits, because black, it's almost a placeholder, you know, it's like, and the pants go here, but there's not always a lot of energy or communication. There's not a real rich feeling from it all the time. And I also learned that dark winter is warmer and more muted than I realized. And I'm still exploring that world. I find it very interesting. Understanding dark coral, for example, and how fundamental it is to dark winter. So like an example of that being the lip gloss Slay on my website. I'll link it in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. I find this fascinating because it's a perfect example of how when you set yourself a challenge and you go through with it, you learn something, and then you either discard the challenge and you say, well, that was fun, on to other things, or it turns into a habit. And in this case, it sounds like it's been like 10 years and you feel like that challenge is still enriching your life.
Well, it is. You know, sometimes you learn things you didn't expect to learn, but in this case, black is still just too easy. And it always will be unless the clothing industry changes dramatically. But once you have a few black basics, and I'm like you, I don't want a bursting closet. Well, then there's no great excuse to buy more and more and more black. So I learned to pick up the nuanced and the interesting colors that I was finding. And those I don't need an excuse to buy, you see. I didn't feel like I should talk myself out of them because they were adding something to my closet and my color journey. So this continues to be my quest, the weird and the wonderful. Without being too weird, let us not forget my orange pants. I keep my weird because I think everybody should keep their weird, but I don't stray into the territory where nobody else gets it. And my brother would say something funny, which he did about my orange pants. I got a thing for the deep rose reds, the jungle greens, and you know, I'm also reminded that these colors exist because I see them in the luxury drapes, and it kind of annoys me that they're sitting there in drapes, but I don't own them in clothing yet. You know, it's, I know this exists, right? People say they don't make these colors. Well, I can't say that because I'm holding a piece of fabric in that color. So this was fun. Your turn, Yaren, what have been or still are your challenges?
My long-term and ongoing challenge is mindful spending. I wouldn't say budgeting, but I'm really trying to move away from fast fashion and enjoy more use out of less clothes. That's my ongoing challenge. And I regularly take stock of my wardrobe, and I've been really, really inspired by the 333 challenge. From Courtney Carver, is her name? Yes. And we will link to that. That's a really useful and interesting and ongoing challenge, which I'm enjoying. And which reminds me that connected to the 333 challenge, we have women who have challenged themselves to wearing just one dress for a whole year. That I think that's kind of beyond me, to be honest, but I think it's really interesting to read about. And we're adding links to two very different projects like that in the show notes. One woman who took a dress and she accessorized wildly with it for a whole year, and she collected, I think, more than $100,000 for a school project for children in the slums in India at the same time. And then the other woman, well, we're also linking to that, who just challenged herself to wearing the same dress for a whole year, nothing more than that, nothing less. And they are both really interested. So if our listeners are interested in diving into stories like that, they can look at the show notes. And I think challenges that give us limitations, it's actually quite freeing. And you can see what you own in a new way when you restrict yourself?
Tremendously so. And shopping from a narrower menu, I mean, that's the whole premise of color analysis, where instead of going into the open ocean of a mall where anything goes, you have a smaller group of items that are much more compiled with you in mind. When you do bend the rules, what's the cake you can't resist?
Oh, yes. Well, that's lipstick. It's not clothes, but God, I can't resist a nice lipstick. I have an embarrassingly large lipstick collection, but I love them and I rotate them and I look at them and, you know, so how many different kinds of bright pink, bright red can you have? And it's a surprising amount and I love each one of them. Yeah. So yes, I do have mindful spending, but I allow myself to splurge on lipsticks. And I wish I could say that I'm trying to limit my jewelry collection, but I have a problem with accessories in the opposite way of most other people, because I'm notoriously not accessorizing. So, and I'm not a handbag person. I'm pretty boring, really. Anyway.
Well, simplicity is not true. The same as plain or boring, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love looking at jewelry, but I don't buy a lot. And the reason for me is because when you know your style and you have pictures to keep you honest with yourself, well, it certainly limits impulse, do you find?
Yes, I do. And also after my style analysis, my taste in jewelry has narrowed even more after seeing what I should go for, and I see why I should go for it. And that makes it so much easier to say no to the 99% of the other stuff.
That's exactly it. It's great to be given a set of pictures, but when you put your item on your body and you see immediately, oh yeah, I get why this is what I'm supposed to wear. Well, everything else becomes second.
Redundant. Yeah.
Yeah, redundant or something, a kind of why bother? And yet you and I think both look better and spend but better than we possibly ever have. Or for me, since I turned 20, in terms of colors, have you had or given yourself any challenges?
Yes, I am currently going to challenge myself to not wear black for a while, partly because I'm working on a course on how not to wear black. And that's going to be my next challenge.
Yeah, I could say, I mean, you're a bright winter, if our listeners aren't aware. So black is a very probably easy purchase. I only see you from the waist up on Zoom, and I don't see you wearing black so often, which is same with me. I wear it in the lower half a lot, and in the upper half when I'm filming for technical reasons, but otherwise almost never. I find it glamorous on you, but like me, we're both women around 60 years old. It's not always flattering to the neck area. And I've seen you wearing black with a low neckline, much better, but I personally find that it doesn't elevate us maybe the way it does on a young winter or maybe many true winters. So I reserve it for jackets and pants and in tops. Where would I wear black as an element in a print, like a stripe? Do you think it'll be hard to come up with replacements for black?
No, I don't think so. And I think, like you, I think it's going to broaden my horizon with regards to colors, because yes, it challenges my, it's like you said earlier, repeating that black is just too easy. Mm-hmm. But there are so many other neutrals that I can explore and colors. And like with neutrals, as you see me very often in gray, I like gray a lot, and white. I'm kind of starting to think that white is the new black, because it really, the right kind of white sets off the colors in a very intriguing way and a very refreshing way to create contrast as opposed to with black.
I completely agree. I think bright winters look fabulous in white. You're gorgeous in white because it lights up your hair. True winter too. I don't think they wear white enough. I fully get that it's a difficult color or could be difficult color to maintain, but in a wool or in a crew neck or a different kind of neckline, it's easy to wear, it's easy to find. And as we get a little bit older, or if our hair has silvered, it, I think, is more flattering to the lower half of the face. Fantastic in outfits. I often talk about navy as a neutral for bright winter. Would that work for you, do you think?
Yeah, yeah, it does. I actually have a winter coat and an anorak in navy. But it's hard to find navy that has enough blue in it for bright winter. It's not bright enough. Navy can sometimes be too black and feel a little bit too heavy just for bright winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. How do you feel about wearing navy if you found the right one with colors? Could you wear it as a neutral?
Oh, yes. I have, like I said, I have a dark blue winter coat and I have a bright red hat that I wear with it. So yes, but I, as you know, I'm one of those who are allergic to wearing more than one color at a time. So I'm just a little more restricted than regular people, I guess. But I love navy with shocking pink. I love navy with bright red. And yeah, it's really good. It can really work very well as a neutral. Yep. If you find the right kind of navy.
If you wore it with a color, would you feel like you were wearing color and neutral, or color plus color?
Color and color.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, I get it. I think it's you and half the people in any room. And then the other half will see it as I do, which is not neutral, but neutral enough for a bright winter. And either by preference or habit, I normally see you in either zero or one colors. I'm not sure what you wear off Zoom though.
Well, same thing. I'm using less colors than I could. But I might be on the mend. Like I said, I have that bright red hat and I wear it with my navy winter coat. So,
and that would look fantastic.
It does.
Yeah. If you saw a woman of your season wearing navy pants and your pink sweater, would you find her too colorful to look at?
No. It looks lovely. Yes, I love it when people wear several colors at one time. And I encourage people of all seasons to use their colors as neutrals, because it really spices up a wardrobe.
Yeah, it really does. It spices it up. It makes it so much more interesting to look at. I like bright winter to wear two colors, four colors, as long as there are neutral areas. And and lots of color doesn't mean whole body color. I mean, it could be just a scarf with lots of colors. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do. But I do have I do have bright winters on my mailing list who read my blog and get my newsletters, who send me pictures, and they wear lots of colors at one time, and they look really good even with no neutrals there. So it is entirely possible, and you can kind of almost say that you can choose bright red and use it as a neutral.
I agree. I think some look absolutely great with red as a neutral, and maybe even more so with the tinsel silver hair, you know, because once the hair color is neutral, it means you can bring in even more color in the appearance. And I think it looks fantastic. I might not wear red pants. I wear red to hide. I like it a lot as a neutral, but I'm always like, really? When people say they don't wear any red.
Yes, I like red, but I'm a winter. So maybe it's a winter thing. I would be really happy to wear bright red capris and a white shirt for summer. It's fresh. And I do have a bright red skirt that I wear in the summer. Anyway, so I'm on this crusade to eliminate black from my wardrobe for a while, just to see how that feels. And I took away all the black tops and I just put them away out of sight. And I looked at what was left in my wardrobe. And I was shocked at how uplifted it looked. It was really, really different and still crisp, because there was white and gray and red and hot, shocking pink in there. And then I thought, wow, am I going to look this uplifted when I wear that for a month? And it's, and I'm kind of curious to try that. Yeah, well, anyway, so another possible challenge that I know people have been doing is a no spend period. That's an interesting challenge. And I've linked to Kate Flanders' book, how she did a whole year of not buying anything, which it was an interesting challenge for her, and lots to learn from that. Or we can have a challenge of wearing a certain color or wearing more accessories. I know I could use that challenge. I'm terrible at wearing necklaces and stuff. I have to keep the belt attached to my pants, otherwise I'll never bother putting on a belt when I'm dressing.
Yeah. And you still want to be comfortable. Scarves, not my thing. I feel a little choked or annoyed, which is odd because I do like turtlenecks. They're warm, but it does not overcome my desire to take them off. Love necklaces, though.
Yes. Well, I remember you once said that you're not a scarfy person. I think that's such a cute word. Anyway, maybe scarves feel too bulky for you because you like turtlenecks and not scarves. I'm the other way around. I can wear a scarf, but I don't like turtlenecks.
Yeah.
But anyway, like Dash and Lily, challenges are fun when we do it for our own sake and out of our own free will. And it really is. It is a fun way to try something new. And we can tell ourselves that it's only for a certain period of time. And then when if we're not happy with it, we can always go back to how we did it before. Or if we are like Christine, it'll be a lifelong habit. You never know. And you don't have to know when you go into the challenge. And moving right along to fun challenges, other challenges that we could inspire our readers to start. And shall we do it for seasons, Christine?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe start with some challenges for all the seasons, like pick a color from your palette that you haven't tried before, mm-hmm. and use a top or buy a new top in that color, and then wear it in as many outfits as you can for a week.
Mm-hmm. That's a good, you know what? That reminds me of another way I used to shop, just what you said. I pick one color because one of the transition points, I think, to using your palette very effectively is training your eye to look at each color individually. You tend to see the whole thing as a group, but to look at every single color, a bit like looking at a map and letting your eyes pause on every single city. And so I used to do that. I would have a color in the back of my mind that I didn't own anything of. I see violet is one I remember. And I would hold it there for weeks, but there it was. And eventually I'd see it. It was like, if I just held it in my mind, I could pull it towards me. And all I had to do was wait and watch, which is, I guess that's how opportunity works, isn't it? It's always coming at us. Our job is just to notice it and then let it in.
Yes. Grab it while it sails by.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. But let's see if we can try and find some challenges that don't involve necessarily going out and buying anything new in order to do a challenge.
Yeah, I agree. And in the spirit of growing through experience, like Dash and Lily, let's suggest some activities because color became easier for you and I, and our closets filled up because we kept doing things with it. You write newsletters, I would do this activity or that activity. And I think for both of us, when we did things to solve the problem for ourselves, we found solutions and then we passed that on to our audiences. Mm-hmm. So would you agree? That's kind of, you realize what people are having trouble with because you had trouble with it.
Yes.
And we didn't read about it or think about it, which is nothing wrong with it, but actually using it to answer these questions and everything below the challenges for readers that are coming up, we've done them and it is revealing and it's fun, even for someone like me who doesn't really enjoy games. It just drives me crazy. But ease doesn't come from ease. Action is what brings ease, or action brings strength, I guess, and then comes ease. And I agree with Jordan. We don't have to shop to understand your colors. You really got to look at them. They are together for a reason. And the best way to look with intention is to apply the looking to a task, like an outcome. Is this starting to sound too much like homework in a boring workshop, Jordan?
Yes, well, it doesn't sound like games anyway. So right. It's not fun and games. So Christine, with it. Yes. Calm yourself. We're not doing games. We're doing challenges. That's what
it's yes. Like. Yes. Put the kettle on. Yes. So we've there are general challenges that we thought apply to everybody in the season. And then there are some that are more specific to each group. Winter's general challenge. Focus on your icy colors wardrobe. Keep it front and center in your mind. Have a list. I'm more efficient with lists because I get irritated until items are crossed up. I think it's the autumn in me. But I now have icy violet, two items, I'm proud to say, and blue green. Still don't have pink and yellow. I have to admit, I hesitate about icy pink. It's better now that I've realized it can be matte and kind of peach pink, but I don't know. I have trouble with pink. How's your icy color collection, Yaren?
Pretty much non-existent, I'm ashamed to say.
It's a winter.
Yes. Yes, I know. I just don't. But it's funny you should mention it because I have set out to knit myself a white sweater. And I picked yarn that I thought would look really good. And it had like one of the yarns, I mixed two kinds of yarns, and one of them had like gray silver thread through it. Not silver, it was a silver gray silk going through it. And I thought the bright mohair would brighten it enough. And I knitted the whole damn sweater. Mm. And I look at it and it's not bright enough. It's not icy. It was an autumn one. So I am now knitting myself an icy white sweater. Mm-hmm. And it has a bit of that yellow in it, a little bit. So anyway, yes. So I'm working on my icy collection, Christine. I'm working on it.
I know. Well, that's how you get there, though. I mean, we're all living and learning. And the way I finally got icy violet right was by getting it wrong once or twice. And that's okay. It kind of moves you along as opposed to just standing there, never getting it. Do you have any colored icy, your violet, your mint, your pink?
No, I don't. I have a yellow cardigan, which I love, but it's much too saturated to be called icy.
Yeah. The one with the zebra buttons?
Yep.
Yeah. I know that one. Yeah, that's... Icy it's very, very light.
Yeah. And I'm working on it. I should.
Yeah. Just hold it in your mind.
Yeah. Anyway, but it's a fun challenge for winters.
Let's start on our challenges for this seasons. Mm-hmm. For winter, you have an item in your closet that we're going to use as our test piece. One you've never matched to your palette. Right. So pull out your palette, open it to a big circle. And we've discussed this in previous episodes under the term harmonizing. So you're not just separating the strips a little bit, you're fanning this thing out into a circle so that you have as much space as possible between the strips and every strip is showing. Find the garment color in the palette. So, and then you lay the palette on top of the garment. Find the garment color or the closest in the palette. You got it? Okay, now hide the strip with the color of the item. And here's the challenge. How does it look with the other colors? If you had to explain it to someone, what would you say? Because if the strip with the same colors available, your eyes are going to jump right to it and say, yep, there it is, good enough. Well, there were two stages to this, two parts. First of all, does the palette look as good on the garment? Because that palette's your face. That's what everybody else sees when you wear that sweater. So does the palette look as good? Let's say it's a red blouse. You hide the red strips. Does it still look as good? Do the black and white look great? Can you make some lovely outfits? And the second part of the challenge is to actually look at each color separately and let your eyes pause over each color as they travel along the strip. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, move your eyes. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, I do mean this quite seriously. And you don't have to think about what you're seeing too much. Just trust your eyes to do the work. And you've got some awareness of the garment beneath, but what's the color doing? Is it changing? Is it getting more beautiful? Is it hiding? Does it look separate? Does any single swatch stand out as especially good? that you hadn't noticed when you were looking at the whole thing together. That's true winter. What about bright winter?
True winter sounds really interesting. And I think any season actually could do that challenge. And
everybody, everybody.
But yes.
Yes.
So bright winter, I would suggest try substituting black for white and see how that feels. It's mind-boggling how gorgeous white looks on bright winter and white and bright. So see about that. White is your new black. How does that challenge look?
Yeah, I would agree that white is the new black. And because it acts with a bright color, it's even more uplifting, I think, than black and on bright winter.
Yes, try it. It's really eye-opening.
Really, really good. And even in a casual style, like a denim jacket, it's just ridiculous.
Oh, white jeans. Hey.
Yes. Ridiculously good. Dark winter, jewel tones, ruby, sapphire, emerald, pick one, not diamond. I mean, that's just too easy. Mm-hmm. You're not an autumn. Most of you, all of you, in fact, looked better in true winter colors than you did in true autumn in your analysis. And you still do.
Yep. I agree. If you're going to go fish in another season, go into your true season, not the neutral that you're next to.
I agree. I'm better in true winter than dark autumn. A bright spring is better in true spring than bright winter. Mm-hmm. I think that applies to everybody. Makeup, though, makeup is the one place I wouldn't go fishing in other seasons because you just don't need to. And it is best to be in your season. And the unique and wonderful thing about makeup is that you can mix colors to make yours. You can't with clothes, jewelry, hair. There's nothing else that offers you that flexibility of mixing two together to make the right one. So you really can be in your season with makeup.
Well, you say that, and I agree with you that we should go into our true season more than the neutral one. But at one point, it's not completely clear cut, is it? Because the one time you said you were looking at your colors and you're surprised at how warm dark winter is.
Yeah. Well, it came of looking at the colors I don't own anything of, looking at each color individually and learning that dark autumn, there's the combination of higher set, similar colors, a lot of them, but that higher saturation in winter. So you go from, let's say, oxblood to smoky ruby, and you go from dark jade in the autumn colors to dark emerald, and perceiving those two as being different. But the jewel tone thing matters. It is very true that they achieve the clarity of winter better.
Yes, and they support the expensive look of dark winter.
They do.
Yes, and eliminating black helps us see colors differently because they have to work better when you put it with another color. Don't you agree?
Very much.
Black is kind of inherently associated with stylish, and we just see it too much. Yeah. It's getting too automatic.
Yeah, it is. People see black and they think it's expensive, it's dress up, whatever it is. But so often it's doing nothing. It's a placeholder. It's just taking up space. And it's not that it's bad. And I really understand why we all own so much of it, or many winters do, but it's not necessary.
True. Yes. Anyway, moving on to springs, the one and all challenge is take advantage of what's easy. All seasons have colors that are hard, but others are really, really easy and more available. So for the three springs, let's say coral, turquoise, ivory, easy, very easy, and yellow.
Yep. I agree. I think that someone said to me, what are the hardest colors to buy? Now, I live in Eastern Canada. I would have said true and light spring, but it doesn't apply to every color being impossible. And I think those bases, the four colors Yaron mentioned, they can be covered with a lot less time and effort. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd even add light summer and bright winter for those colors being pretty easy. Would you agree with that, Yaron?
I do. Turquoise and yellow are easy to find in light summer and bright winter, as long as, along with the springs. Mm-hmm. You don't always find your kind of coral because, I don't know, but coral is relatively easy to rule out because it's easy to see if it's too warm or too cool.
Yeah, and coral for springs is like blue for summers. It gets along.
Yeah,
it figures it out. It just looks good, even if it's doesn't have to be particularly close.
Mm.
Well, that was bright. That was all of spring.
That was kind of the general. Have you got anything to say specific for true springs?
I do. I have another exercise because I know how much people love them. So here's the exercise.
It's not a game. It's an exercise.
Oh, yeah. Yes. The autumn and the spring here, you can tell who's who. Find three pieces of your jewelry. Some have colors, some don't, doesn't matter. But do at least have one that's really just metals. Once again, fan out that palette, open it right out and put it on a gray or a neutral background, an off-white table, anything that doesn't have a big color contribution. And then take one piece of jewelry at a time and start rolling it around. Roll it around on top of the various colors in the palette. Don't rush to decide anything. Trust that your eyes know what they're doing. And your job is just to look at how these colors are interacting. What's happening? Is anything getting better? Is anything getting worse? Is anything different on one color than it was on the other? And the outcome, the goal here of the three items of jewelry that you picked, which one looked best with your palette? Not asking if they're perfect or if they're in the season or if another season could wear them. I find with jewelry, it's usually a couple of seasons wear it well. Just of the three, which one looks best with your palette?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. I think with metals and there's a lot of crossover between seasons, much more than clothing.
Yeah, you've had that too, eh?
Yeah.
Yep. And and everything that you takes a little time with metals and stones to watch how they interact with an ink on canvas palette or with fabric, doesn't matter. But it's like cosmetics. It's just a different way of looking that comes very quickly. Once you see it the first time, and then your mind is like, whoa, this is different. And then your mind says, well, yeah, okay, it is different, but I can still see things going on that I recognize. Then you're away. You can really use your palette. And I'm such a believer in not just wandering around matching things to it, but actually using this thing.
Mm, yeah.
Who's next? You're in light spring.
Yeah, light spring. I have one.
Okay.
With your palette in hand, walk over to your closet and look very carefully. And then you write down one color that you don't have anything of. Not a single item in that color. Is it green maybe or brown or something? And just consider it and ask yourself why, and then see how you would challenge yourself to see if you could get something. Well, I know we said we shouldn't buy anything, but if there really is a reason to broaden your horizon and starting, but the way you start is to start looking. And don't go willy-nilly in the shops. You go and intentionally shop after you've really considered what you have and what you don't have.
Very true. You've got to know what you're looking for if you're going to recognize it when you see it. And it's not all out there all the time, but it is all out there some of the time.
Yes. And I think what you said earlier about keeping a color in mind.
Yes.
And this color, when you've written down or really considered your closet with your palette and you have this one color that you have nothing of, keep it in your head. Keep it for a long time. You can go for months, for a year, just keeping that color in your head, and then along comes an occasion or where you find it, and then you're ready.
Yep. I don't know if it's just simple awareness or a law of attraction thing. I don't know, and quite frankly I don't care. It does work. Yeah, it's just that one day it will appear and you kind of got to prime the pump to be ready for it.
True.
Yeah.
So bright spring.
Your turn. Okay, bright spring. I'm going to put together two outfits with the colors that you already have in your closet. Outfit number one is made of two neutrals with a little bit of color. Outfit number two is made of one neutral and two large areas of color. Yes, two are not a winter. And yep. This is for springs who may dress too much as winters or not as exciting with color as they could look. Kind of, you know, dressing to look like so many, I don't want to say everybody else, but so many people who are just not using color the way they could. And it could be rain boots, it could be a necklace, but springs are so good with color and bright springs, especially. Mm-hmm. Or you could do a lot of neutral plus color, which may be how most of us dress to get to work in the morning. The idea is just to start using color and using color in combinations. Mm-hmm. Is that how your, what do your clients do where you are? Do springs dress with color or not really?
They're less color shy than the other clients. Mm. And especially bright springs, they mm-hmm. own a lot of color, and they're the least color shy of all my clients. And that's kind of amazing for Norwegians, because mm-hmm. we are kind of color shy. But I think it's the superpower of springs is the ability to wear all those colors. So mm-hmm.
is it ever? Yeah. Is it ever? It adds glamour without looking glam. Mm-hmm. You're just in the world and healthy. So keep an eye out for it. Even if you're looking for gardening clothes, I mean, you a lot of, I meet a number of bright springs who have dressed as summers for their working lives, often in corporate clothing. They're now retired and they get even quieter with color, and reverse that, turn it around, bring color back in, start with bracelets, socks, tights, easy things to wear that take a little more effort, and you start seeing color near your body and it just becomes your new normal.
Sounds lovely. What a great challenge. So what about summers, Christine?
Summer. They're going to love this. Everyone challenged.
Brace yourselves.
Yes. And or buy pink. Yes. Yes. I did say pink. Try cashmere. It comes in so many colors, right? Pink's funny because it can be associated with traditional femininity, social movements. I mean, there are all sorts of associations with pink. And I find true summers avoid this color. Maybe all summers, but true do avoid this color. And I'm not sure why. Maybe is it the tendency to dress as our opposite, or I'm overthinking it, or I'm talking about myself. I don't know. But I do have issues with pink. And I'm here to say it looks seriously good. And never mind the psychology of the color or any color, from pastel light pink to your version of fuchsia berry, they are awesome. I have a rose petal colored tie on a man with a soft white shirt. Oh my goodness. But not dusty wine, okay? You can buy too much dusty wine in the world. What do you think? Do you have things with pink?
Or do yes, you well, I think...
Is it a feminine?
No, it could be a hiding. Else? Sorry, say that again.
Is it a traditional femininity thing, an association with, I hate to say the word, weakness or fragility or something? Or
yes.
What do you think?
I don't know. Maybe people are, or summers are afraid to not be taken seriously in pink because it's a childlike color. Mm. But I don't see why that should be an issue, because summers have the most grown-up pinks of them mm-hmm. all. Yep. You know, these antique rose and these lovely, lovely, muted, very, very adult pinks.
Yep. Yep.
Nothing childish about them. And it really looks good with the summer neutrals, those pinky gray taupes.
Yep. It's fantastic. Maybe too many true summers have blue eyes, by no means all of them. But many do. And the pink and blue together, you were saying about it looking childlike. Maybe it's that baby pink and baby blue. But one way or another, that's the color to hold in your mind, because it really does look good.
Good and challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. What about light summer, Joran?
Yeah, light summer. I think, well, light summer is light. So the challenge that I would come up with would be to sort out your sweater drawer and take away the items that are darkest than the darkest color in your palette. Bring your fan with you into the drawers and do the sorting. And then you can do the same for the things that are lighter than the lighter colors in your palette. And then take those away also. And then you're left with items that are within the range that your season has for you. Mm-hmm. And that's the range of your palette, your light summer palette.
That's a good one, because when you see the items that are in the range, in your light to dark range, and the outsiders on both ends sitting apart, it really does help your eye kind of solidify them, the territory. So that's a good one. I have a one for true summer. I think these are getting harder and harder. True summer. Not wearing anything blue for a week. And yes, my friends, that does include navy. Because if winter doesn't get black for a week, I'm afraid you don't get blue.
Oh, that is a challenge. Yes, that's a challenge. That's almost cruel, Christine.
Almost.
But if we get to live without black for a week, the summers could try and live without blue for a week. That's interesting. Suck it up, summers. But you know what? Green is allowed.
Imagine
that sage, dark pine green. That's really good. And so the challenge is that you can't even look at blue, walk past it, and don't try it on, even if there's nothing else in the store in your colors. But try searching for those greens, like the bluegrass, eucalyptus, sage, clover, blue-green. Well, blue-green, not blue, blue-green.
Yes, yes.
Yes, because you might not know how beautiful they look if you've got blue as your easy choice, clouding your, how do you say, vision?
Yep.
Anyway, so you'd think that blue with blue eyes is kind of the default magic, but it's a little predictable, right? So the challenge is to engage your imagination by cutting out blue and looking at, well, for instance, green instead.
I find those greens, they are available. They are so interesting and amazing looking on summers, any summer, really. Mm-hmm. And blue can be like black on winters. It's like, well, okay, fine. But what else you got?
Too easy.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is.
So soft summers.
Soft summer. And away we go. Okay. I learned so much doing this. So soft summer. Sit down with your makeup collection, a sheet of paper, and a damp paper towel. I think that's for cleaning your fingertips. And possibly armed with chocolate for this one, because we're going to get down and dirty. Your palette's in another room, okay? We don't have it at this time. And you're going to use your makeup collection as a paint box. And you can use Q-tips to put the colors on your piece of paper. But I use my fingertips because I can get a heavier color deposit. The Q-tip, it's just too wishy-washy. We're talking serious color. And we're talking in squares or circles about 1 inch. So don't be watery about the color deposit or the area. You need a lot of color. It's like with the analysis, I really like drapes the size of bath towels, and I want to see a fair bit of it in the mirror, because you got to have enough there to do something. And you're not pausing, you're not thinking, you're not comparing, you're not having this internal conversation about whether this color looks good on you or anything else. One after the other, just move through it, finger in the pan, paint it on the paper from the tube, whatever it is. And then when you're done, sit back, put chocolate in mouth, and look at the page. And hopefully what you have is a sense of colors that make sense together. Ornaments on the same tree under the same light at the same time of year. It doesn't matter if you like light lips or dark ones, or you know what your friend likes, or any other preferences. We're just looking at colors. And the next question is, are there any obvious outsiders? Like you're looking at this beautiful group of colors, and then your eye spots one and thinks, now what is that doing at the party? What do you think, Yarn?
It was only a matter of time before you brought chocolate into this conversation. I'm liking this. Anyway, so soft summer.
We're going to get through it.
Yes, I know. And I would need that. So if you're feeling after getting to this part of it that wasn't so bad, that you have a little more chocolate left in the box, then you can go get your palette and look for the colors. And they don't need to be identical. They only need to look like they belong in the palette without disrupting the piece. So, because you might be surprised when you bring your palette, you might discover that you are a soft summer, but your makeup colors are soft autumn.
Yeah,
we can't have that, can we?
Certainly can. And I think any season could benefit from this challenge. And to say that you don't really need, if you have a few reference colors that are right, you can figure out the rest. Mm-hmm. And because often women will get their colors analyzed and we've gone through their makeup and they take some makeup home with them. And once they have a few pieces of makeup that are right, then they take, go through their whole makeup stash, do the thing, put it on the paper. And it's, they say it is so easy on one mm-hmm. side, the keep on the one side, not in my season. It figures itself out it without does. Having to overthink it. Let's see, autumns. What's our...
Well, I have one thought in my head, and for all autumns is like, wear more than the same three colors over again.
What colors do you think they are, Jorn?
I think that it would be olive and like that rust and brown.
Yep. I would have gone with brown, probably forest green, and some kind of tan camel color. There's an awful lot of those going around. I have another all autumn challenge, though. This is what comes into my mind, which is bring in more shimmer in clothing and in cosmetics. Autumns are, you know, they don't like a lot of fuss. And sometimes that little push to glam up a little bit more, holy cow, do they carry it well. It looks like pure wealth and elegance, and somehow looks so normal at the same time, kind of like springs with colors. You can load them in it and it just looks better and better and somehow very normal. So metallic shine could be textile, could be jewelry, either or. And autumns, I think they can use them too. If you want to bring it in a less is more way, I mean, you don't have to have 20 bracelets on one arm or a fully shiny jacket. It could be just a dot of metallic gold eyeshadow over the iris, not an entire eyelid. Could be a few threads of sparkle in a blouse. Use your discretion. I'm just asking you to wear it. I could see, for instance, a gorgeous shimmered copper blazer, or I could see a beaded cardigan as being fabulous. So I'll move towards the heat and stop when it feels too hot. Life policy, you know. Specific autumns. Let's start with true autumn. Okay, here it is. Go to the website of your favorite store, armed with a pot of tea, chocolate, whatever for the day, and create a wish list. You know how a lot of websites, they let you put items in a cart, put them in a cart if you want, or create a wish list, whatever you like. And you're going to choose three items that look like your white. I wonder if listeners are doing this anyway when they shop, though. Do you do this, Jorn? You put a few items that are close in your cart to start with?
Yes, I do, actually. If I go shopping, I do put some in the cart or a wish list. A lot of them have mm-hmm. have that function. Mm.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like window shopping, and it's kind of like in a store. You sometimes bring out two or three items and bring them into the fitting room with you. So it's kind of the wish list is kind of your fitting room. The digital fitting room. And yes. I think I know what you mean. What you mean is like it's an exercise in training your eyes without buying anything.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And for autumns, the not the game, but the challenge here is that you to discover that your best white isn't really white.
Yeah, it really isn't white. And the other idea here may be to shop ahead. To go out, you know, I need a red purse, I need a white, and then to go try to find it that day. Well, I don't know about your world, but usually when I go shopping for one thing, that's what I come back with, if I come back with anything. So you have your cart, your wish list, and you've got your three items in there, your three whites. Now the challenge is, coming to the end of it, is to find the best one. Find the best white that you can buy that day in that store. whether you buy it or not, that's entirely up to you. But you may want to buy yourself a present in a scarf with a metallic detail in gold, of course. I always feel I need presents.
Yes. We're driving the point home now with the autumns to challenge yourself to do something metallic. It's not glittery, silvery, like the winter's kind of metallic. It's more that golden glow of copper and burnished metallics, right?
Yeah, burnished is right because it's a good word, because this isn't a light, tinkly wind chime kind of gold. This has got some substance. It's got some weight to it, probably from darkness and red, I suppose. But
All right.
Those are great. Soft autumn.
Yep.
We're still on metals here. Online, in-store, whatever you prefer. Understanding satin finish in metals. Trust us, it looks good. And you have a lot of leeway with metals because your warm to cool range was pretty wide. Gold and silver, gorgeous, lying next to your skin. Colored elements like stones, beads with metals, that's as good, if not better. Like a pendant necklace, you see them with various kinds of insets and enamels. It is absolutely fantastic. However, super smooth metals that are very, very shiny and also light in color, gold, rose gold comes to mind. That at the same time, light and very, very shiny, that might not work so well. It can look a little frozen or hard or sharp, maybe next to the skin.
I think it's a great exercise to just use this principle and sort out your jewelry box.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's not hard because looking at it, you can see it's either brushed or matte or it's shiny. Not that shine can't work, but like a soft luster is much more beautiful than you might realize. Yeah. And once you've sorted them, study yourself in the mirror, hold up your jewelry with the most matte and then the most shiny in your collection. And really look at it and find out, do you see the woman or do you see the jewelry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little bit like the difference in luster between a diamond and a pearl. Yeah, shiny metals can work, but you want to be, the color is a little bit more particular, I would say. I often ask salespeople or friends, doesn't matter. I put on a necklace, earrings, whatever it may be. Well, I hold it up and I say, can you see me or the necklace? And they don't really know the right answer. So they think, well, should I say that I see her better and the necklace isn't doing anything, but I'd like her to buy that necklace? Or do they, you know, so they don't know what to say. And so they actually say what they think, what they see. And if they say the necklace, well, I take that to mean it's in front of me. I don't want to walk into a room and have people's attention go directly to a piece of jewelry that I'm wearing. Might be too big, might be too sparkly, all sorts of possibles. The point is, leave it at the store.
Mm. Yes, I think I know what you mean. What we want to see in the mirror is you wearing a lovely necklace, not the jewelry coming towards you and then the woman is kind of there in the background, right?
Right. Do you think, Joran, that a woman could, you, for instance, could you do this on your own without asking someone else what they, their opinion? If I'm suspicious the jewelry is too much and I ask someone, it usually is, but I can sometimes gravitate towards too much bling on my own.
I don't know. I don't know who I would ask. My husband, maybe. He's very honest.
Yeah.
Because I like you said, salespeople, they tell you what they think they can say to make you buy it.
Mm-hmm. Or what you want to hear, but there's all, they're not yeah, neutral.
Yeah, no, they're not neutral. Yes, and I guess we all have our pitfalls, you know. You say you're tending towards too much bling. I'm probably tending towards too little bling. So maybe I'm more critical than I should. So maybe I should ask somebody else. Yeah, it's a good question.
Do you wear shine in clothing? I'm thinking about, I've never seen you that I recall wearing shine in, but then if color is challenging, maybe shine is even harder for you, or you, no, I don't know.
I had a lovely dress that I bought on eBay that had all this silver bling. It was kind of a Great Gatsby kind of style, but it was a little too tight, so I wasn't wearing it enough. And let's face it, I don't have any parties to go to where that call for shine.
Exactly.
But I have a shiny antique or vintage jacket that's silk, and it has such shine in it. Mm-hmm. But it's not really a sequin kind of shine.
Right. Right. Yeah. I wear satin, but I don't go much beyond that. But I do very much like a bit of a satiny shine. Mm-hmm. We're on to dark autumn. I'm going to let you take this one. What are we going to do for dark autumn?
I don't know. Dark autumn. Well, black is too easy for winters, but not so automatic for dark autumn. And the blacks for dark autumn should be warm and a little dull, maybe more like a dark brown. The idea would be, the challenge would be to try and wear something that's almost black, but not on its own, and then really wear it with your gold and your jewelry, I guess.
Yep.
Is that a challenge?
I think it is, because dark, in the same way dark winters was warmer than I initially thought, dark autumn is softer. And we get very confused between darkness and softness. And so dark autumn goes very soft. And it's what you said about it being very, the black looks like very dark brown. The blacks, you can often with the dark neutrals for dark autumn, whether they're black or aubergine or navy, whatever they are, you find yourself, is that black? Is that blue? Is that brown? You're not sure, because there is not a whole lot of color pigment in it relative to some of the darker colors where you know exactly what you're looking at. Dark autumn's not that way. You think it might be black. It might not be. True black is okay, but it's not really great. And it's not automatic with the other colors. Rusts can look orange, neutrals can look faded when the black is too blue of a black. We're aiming for greatness. And when you get a warm black, like black mixed with another color, in a dark, dark brown, dark ivy, it is so much richer alone and in combinations. And so the person and the black are talking. They have this great relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think that would be... Yep, good way of putting it. All right, we're at that was the last season, wasn't it? So let's see if we can find some more non-seasonal challenges that we can think of, besides the ones that we mentioned in the beginning. And a lot of those challenges we mentioned for certain seasons can be done by other seasons too. So, but let's look at some other ones. I have one. And that is, if you don't usually wear makeup, commit yourself to wearing lipstick, at least lipstick, every day for a week. Mm-hmm. That's a lovely challenge.
It is. They say that it takes 18 days to form a habit. I believe that with makeup, it's less. Try wearing lipstick after the week. See how you feel with it without it on day 8. You're... I bet you're going to be reaching for it.
Maybe you'll miss it. Yes,
you might. And it's not hard to put lipstick on. Eyeshadow, eyeliner. Oh, you got to fuss. Even blush. You know, you got to blend whatever. Lipstick, it's just not really that hard, especially if you use a sheer color or just put pigment on and then with balm. It's not particularly difficult.
That's true. And it makes such a difference. I think one makeup item that makes the most difference.
Yep. And do what Yoren does. You put some on your lips and your cheeks, right?
I do. Yeah.
And it's easy. You just dot on your fingertip. I mean, it's nothing.
Yes, it is. So try it.
Try it. Another one. And I feel like people are just going to hate me, but these are the ways that I learned so much about my own appearance. Make a 30-second video of yourself. Describe your drive to someplace you know, so that you don't have to come up with a script or a plot. Just describe how you're going to drive to the grocery store. And then picture that you get that sent this video. You open your email, here's this video. And the woman is saying to you, what would be one thing that you could suggest that how I could improve my appearance? I find that I learned so much more from video than still images, even still images with other people in the shot, because you see what everyone else is looking at. And I personally find it amazing to look at videos I even made 6 months ago. And I think I look really different. Do you have that experience with video, Yoren?
Yes, I do. And seeing videos of myself keeps me making changes.
Yes.
And I think even if you never showed that video to anybody else, you just watched it yourself, you could see yourself very truthfully. Mm-hmm. But the trick is to not be too harsh on yourself, because it's so easy to be so critical. Yes. Seeing yourself on video. So be kind, but yes. It's amazing what you can learn from it.
Yep. Be yeah. kind and constructive. She's just a woman that you know that you met at a meeting last year. She sent you a video on, and she says, what's one thing I could do to improve my appearance? What would you say? And not thinking about the plot, you can focus on how you look. It's kind of like with movies, when you know the story, you can, I mean, I had this experience. I went to see the Diana video recent movie with Kristen Stewart. You already know the story, so you don't have to pay attention to who the people are, and you can focus on so many other things. And I find also watch with the sound off. That's really good. And if you're talking, you're moving around a little bit. This is what other people see. They don't see you sitting still immobile. And even before I film a video, I just look at a movie. I turn my head side to side. I speak a few words. This is what other people see. And I'm not at the point anymore, probably, where I'm changing colors, but I am, let's say, rebalancing more eyes, less lips. I really darkened the eyebrow powder that I was using. I realized that it was making the brows not only look orange when I filmed, but also a lot grayer than they actually are. And so you may not in the video see an exact representation of your hair color, your eyebrow color, but you will see when they match or they balance each other. Mm-hmm. And hairstyles, of course. Have you rebalanced makeup or actually changed colors in videos for both?
Yes, when I do videos, I always brighten my lipstick.
Interesting.
But I think the biggest change I've made since really looking at myself in videos is that I've changed to rimless glasses.
Yeah.
When I now see the older videos of myself, and even pictures with the ones with the very dark frames, I just only see the glasses. I see how much they hid my face. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if I would have learned that if I wasn't looking at myself.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's true in real life too. You, Yoren, would be much more visible in person, standing right next to a person in the glasses that you have now. And what Yoren said, don't be critical. That's the danger. And then you're not getting anything from it. It does take time to neutralize the emotion. It's not about good and bad. Just suspend all those judgments. It's about seeing what others see, like we do for a color analysis. This is just a stranger. Who's going to look more beautiful when you and she go out for lunch? Any other good general challenges? I think we can come up with a few.
Oh, yes, we can. And I have one about accessories. And to take out your, well, this is maybe for people like me, and there may be some out there, sort and organize your necklaces. And then you keep the ones you like best, put away the other ones, and then you decide, you commit to wearing every single one of them. Not at once, not all at the same time, but wear one of them one day, another one the next day, until you've worn them all, and then see how that feels.
Yep. The sorting is good. It creates an outcome to a decision from the activity. Like you put them on a scale of 1 to 10. That's a good one for me too. And because the less I wear shine and anything that might have been glamorous a year ago, the less I wear it. And then anything I wear seems like too much for me. So you have to go back, even if you start with something very quiet. And I have so many necklaces I love.
Yep. And I would benefit from doing this challenge because I don't accessorize as much as I'd like to. Okay, here's another one. Pick one item in your wardrobe, could be anything, a top or a dress or anything, and challenge yourself to wear it every day for a week in combination with other items from your wardrobe and accessories. And this exercise is kind of to remind us that we can wear the same thing over and over again. Other people, they really do not judge us. And it's also an exercise in combining it with different things to keep it interesting.
Like redecorating one item in different, like reinventing it every day. I could even do that with a necklace. It'd be a great way to get back into wearing jewelry. Just whatever I wear today, I'm wearing it with this necklace for a week.
That's an interesting spin on it. Yeah, it could be any item.
Yeah.
Yes. And then getting back to the ones we mentioned earlier that we are linking to in the show notes, the women who committed to wearing the same dress for a whole year. Well, that's a little extreme, but it's interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Dash and Lily started us off with Christmas time in Manhattan. Wherever you live and however you may be celebrating this month, happy holidays to you and to your families.
Yes. And we will see you in 2022.